Welcome to the Land Jam Podcast, a semi-friendly discussion between two blokes on watches, cars, and everything in between. Now, here are your hosts, Tommy and Sanjeev.
Welcome to a Land Jam Short, Nevada Nirvana.
That's right, Sanj. I feel like this, we've had a bunch of reimagined watches, watch companies that have gone out of business either during the quartz crisis or since the quartz crisis. And Nevada Gretchen is the most recent one to kind of get a revival. So it's a historic Swiss watchmaker. They went under years ago. Their watches, their chronograph watch is actually very popular on eBay and in the vintage chronograph market. So if you've ever searched for vintage chronos, chances are you've seen a couple Nevada Gretchens. But recently, they've, the rights to Nevada Gretchen have been acquired by two French entrepreneurs who are bringing the watch back. They're kicking it off kind of appropriately with both a chronograph and a three-hander. They're bringing back the historic Chronomaster collection and the what they're calling the Antarctic collection, which is kind of like a Rolex Explorer-y kind of watch. Is that, would that be fair, Sanj?
Yeah, I would say so. It's a simple three-hander watch. With the way they put the watch together, it's very, you know, harkens back to the way watches were styled, you know.
Mid-century.
Like, yeah, mid-century.
50s and 60s, yeah. So all the watches are Swiss-made. They've got Sellita movements, you know, which is great, you know, within our expectations. As we mentioned, we've talked about Sellita before. The fact that they're used by anyone from Zinn that's a very big seal of approval. And as far as pricing is concerned, they're very competitive. The Antarctic three-hand collections is about $705 USD. And the Chronomaster steel chronographs are going up to $1,955. That's, I think, for the automatic version. They're doing the chronographs in both automatic and manual. Mm-hmm. I think it's very compelling. So the Chronomaster is the aviation chronograph. As I mentioned, coming in both automatic and manual versions, there's a little bit of a price decrease for the manual. So I think that's pretty compelling. You know, look, I've got a Speedmaster Professional. It's a manual, and it doesn't bother me the least bit to have to
line everything up. Yeah, the only thing is that the manual is only what, 200 euro or so less. So it's not that much of a discount. What you will find is probably the watch will be thinner.
Exactly.
So and fit on the wrist more comfortably.
And the thing is, I mean, this is kind of a meta watch enthusiast thing, but like you and I and most watch enthusiasts have multiple watches.
Yes.
So having an automatic watch isn't actually much of an advantage because, I don't know, I'm kind of a crazy person and I switch watches like every 2 days or every day. So to have an automatic movement doesn't really help me unless you're going to bridge the gap till the next time I wear the watch. Yeah. Right. And I don't use winders. So a manual is perfectly fine with me. I really have no issue with that. And the Chronomaster is a very attractive chronograph watch. It comes in various dial patterns. They've used different handsets, one with a broad arrow hour hand, one with just baton hands, one with an orange seconds hand. My favorite, I think, is the one with green markers and green hands and a lollipop second hand. They're calling it the version E, both an automatic and manual. And I think that's the one I would get. But I don't think you can go wrong in any of this. It comes in leather, it comes in steel, beads of rice steel. They even have a panda version as well. So I think this is a very compelling chronograph offering here. It does have heritage. It comes from a historic brand that's being revived. It's Swiss made. It's got a Swiss movement. I think it ticks pretty much every box that you would want to tick if you were trying to get into a chronograph. What are your thoughts here, Sanj?
I agree with you 100%, which is rare. The one thing that Nevada, at least the revival, is they're staying true to their past. So if you look at the website, and if you go down to the chronographs, and you can see what it was back in the day to what they're doing right now, and it's almost, if not identical, in aesthetic.
Yes, And the interesting thing I've noticed, and I don't know if you noticed, Sanj, but let's see if you did, is that some of the watches have the Nevada logo and some of them do not.
Interesting.
As in the shield. And the writing Nevada Gretchen, for example, the version B has just a straight Nevada Gretchen writing.
Correct.
And then the version E, which is my pick with the green hands and markers, has the logo and Nevada Gretchen on two lines. I think it's interesting. I think would prefer just the straight line. The vintage examples I've seen have been just the single straight line Nevada Gretchen. So
both don't matter to me personally.
Yeah. Okay.
No. It's just a personal thing, not to just like throw spite at you, which I
how usually... dare you.
No. I mean, that's a personal preference. I think the Nevada Gretchen as a single line makes it a bit more, I guess, vintagey and less cluttered.
Yeah.
But having the shield is not as a bad thing for me personally. If I were to have a pick, it'll be the version F with the orange second hand and the
ooh
and the. The orange
subdials are kind of like a cream.
Gray, yeah, with an orange for the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
No, they're all attractive. That's the hard bit, you know.
They're all really attractive. Yeah, I would have picked the B, but I'm sorry, the E, but the F is attractive too. So yeah, for example, the F, your pick in automatic is 1800.
Yes.
Euro. And then in manual, is there a manual version?
No. So version B is manual.
Okay.
But the rest, version F?
No. So if you go up on the top of the website, you hit manual and search by manual, there's a version F that's manual. It's in gotcha. It's 1600 euro. Yeah. Which is very compelling. You can't
go wrong right. with yep, that. Oh, you're right. Yep.
Yeah. So... Yeah, so you're going to pick version F. I'm going to take version E. But frankly, I don't think you can go wrong with any of them. Swiss made, Swiss movement.
Yeah.
Well designed, solid vintage chops. This is fantastic work. Now, for the other watch, the Antarctic collection, like I mentioned, it's a three-hander. It's supposed to evoke. It gives me a Rolex Explorer-y kind of vibe.
It gives me also, for some reason, an Omega kind of vibe too. One of their older Omegas.
Like,
I don't know if it's
like an Aquaterra, like or
maybe or one of their older Seamasters before it was.
I could see that.
It's yeah. nice. It's attractive, but I wouldn't personally buy it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a dressier offering, right? And the thing you know, again, automatic and date and no date. The interesting thing is they actually have two versions of the dial. No, sorry, multiple dial colors, but the markers either come in 12/3/6/9 or it's just 12 and you've got hash marks
yeah.
around the dial.
They look like teeth indices.
Yeah, kind of like a Seiko Monster yeah. almost, right? It's interesting. And the depth of the bezel texture, I'm just throwing things out here for what they remind me of. It's like kind of Grand Seiko-y. Like they've got a version here that could almost be like a snowflake, you know.
Yeah, like the cream color you're talking about, right?
Yeah. Especially the Antarctic version D no date. If you scroll all the way down, I mean, that could be almost Grand Seiko-ish the way it looks. I think both collections are very attractive. I think the guys that are launching Nevada really know what they're trying to convey, and it's a very attractive watch.
Now, would you go for the date or no date?
You know, the longer I'm into watch collecting, the more I like no date. One, because it is less of a pain when you pick it up and put the watch on. And two, because I'm a bit of an OCD person, so I can't have the date and day off. Like I need to correct that. So, you know, the setup time to put on a watch takes a little bit longer than it should. And I think from a symmetry perspective, it's nicer to have no date.
I like day-to-day complications personally, but it has to fit with the symmetry or aesthetic, or, you know, if it was a tool watch, sure, I would like to have a day date.
What's your rotation habit though, Sam? Like, how often are you switching watch? Are you wearing a watch a week through, or are you
usually it's a watch a week through?
Interesting. See, I switch it up literally every day. Almost, maybe 2-3 days in a row.
Do you just pick whatever that you just think of and just do it?
I think generally, yeah. I think the watches that get the most rotation right now are the Seiko Baby Marine Master and the Speedmaster.
Both lovely, lovely watches.
Yeah, and then I'll switch in. Like today, I'm wearing the Turtle. Sometimes I'll wear the Newmark. Sometimes, you know, the JPS hasn't come out at wrist time, so I got to put that on sometime. But yeah, it's usually those two that kind of dominate.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's the Fortis, the Samurai, the Hamilton, actually.
Interesting, the Hamilton.
Yeah.
The other hubcap.
That is actually a hubcap. If you compare it to the actual Fortis, it's definitely wide.
It's like
wider, yeah. But definitely thinner because the Fortis. Russian cosmonauts substitute hammers with the Fortis. Sorry.
You're so sensitive. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's all we had for Nevada.
Which would you pick?
For the Antarctic collection?
Yeah.
Ooh, that is tricky. I think I would take Antarctic version D, no date.
D, no date. Gotcha. The one with the steel.
Cream colored.
Yeah.
Cream colored steel, beads of rice bracelet, just a 12, no 369. Those are all just hash marks.
So, I really don't like rice bead bracelets, but that's just
okay. What would you pick?
That's just me. That's just me. It's a nice watch. I would if I were to pick a version D looking watch, I probably would have picked the B, honestly.
The version B. Oh, I see.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Just with the leather.
Cream colored. Okay,
gotcha. But if I were to pick, I would also go for the version G with the blue dial.
Oh, but you know, your version B has a blue seconds hand, which mine does not. Your version D does not.
No, version D has a blue seconds hand.
It does? D. Version D as in dog does not have a...
Yes.
No.
With blue hands. What are you talking about?
The Antarctic version D no date.
With blue seconds hand.
Oh, okay. They have a version with it. Okay. See, the version I was looking at does not have it. Okay.
Gotcha. So okay.
That's an option. That's an option. I see. Okay. Okay. I see. Okay. I stand corrected. Okay. Yeah.
And corrected. Okay. You better be.
That's right. All right, Sanj. That's a compelling new offering from us. Okay. No one can say we just talk about the same watches over and over again. As far as closing notes is concerned, I wanted to actually talk about a strap. You and I are both NATO strap fans.
Yes. Right?
And obviously the NATO strap is kind of an evolution into the Cold War. It's got varying degrees of historical accuracy of whether it actually ever saw any World War II action. I've heard yes. I've heard at the very end, potentially. One strap that we do know for a fact did see World War II action was a strap that was codenamed the AF0210, which if you look at the strap is pretty much canvas webbing that is strung onto military watches, much like a NATO strap would be. This is a single pass-through from what I can tell, not a double pass-through of the modern NATO, but it's just a piece of canvas that you would wear. And these straps on a vintage basis to actually hunt for one, you know, you're going to be paying, according to the person selling it, an upwards of £250 plus just for this strap. Okay, because this is a fixed thing. So a little bit of history behind the strap. This was issued in 1945. It was a canvas webbing strap. About the same time as the Dirty Dozen. So even the Dirty Dozen barely saw action in World War II. You know, these straps would have been outfitted with the Dirty Dozen watches. They kind of go hand in hand. So obviously you've got a strong British military watch connection there. So they're being reproduced. We'll put the website on. It's af0210strap.com. They're being reproduced, I think, for £35, which is obviously a much better deal than getting it vintage. Coming in black, green, and khaki. And a little bit of history, you know, it was part of that lightweight 1944 pattern webbing that was introduced by the Ministry of Defense. It finally got adopted in 1945. It was issued initially for general service, so for all servicemen, but it ended up being introduced as jungle warfare equipment. So I'm assuming it was given to pilots and infantrymen fighting in Burma against the Japanese, or, you know, if they were flying in carriers, maybe they would get them as well. But, you know, this is at the very end of the war. We're talking 1945. So, you know, just made it in to be considered World War II vintage. But I think if you have a vintage military watch, if you have a Dirty Dozen watch, you've got to get one of these reproduction straps for them. I think they look fantastic. I'm not sure if they would work for other types of military watches or tool watches.
Yeah.
I think they're so evocative of that time. You really couldn't put a Zin on this.
You need to have a, so the watch, the strap width is 17.5 millimeters. So you need to have lug width of, let's say, 18, which is quite hard to find nowadays of anyone.
Well, hang on. So if you look at the shop, they have it up to 22 millimeters.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. And it actually runs a little bit long, and they recommend you getting it a little bit longer. So it's a very attractive kind of niche offering. I don't know. What do you think, Sanj?
It's nice. I don't have much to say about it. It's, as long as it's durable and does its job, and it harkens back to something of historical presence, yeah, why not?
Yeah, it seems very appropriate for a World War II era watch. I'm thinking the Bulova A11s. That's World War II, right? Am I getting the right code for that? Yes. I'm thinking of the Dirty Dozen watches. Actually, Longines did that COSD paratrooper watch. That would fit very well with the strap. So it's very niche. You definitely need a watch of that age for it to work. I don't think it, you know, maybe I could be corrected. Maybe a classic Rolex Submariner would work as well. But it's a very attractive watch and watch strap. And I think, you know, it's correct, period correct, as far as issue. So yeah, check it out. We'll put the link in the show notes. If you have a vintage military watch, I think this is something you kind of need to get.
The one cool thing is, like, you know, it's in this canvas color, right? It's accessible, susceptible to dirt and other things. But like the dirtier it looks, it actually looks better for some reason.
Yeah, so it comes in black, green, and khaki.
The khaki one.
I think you're talking about the khaki.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was jungle warfare issue, right? I mean, imagine you're in Burma and you're sweating in the jungle.
No, I'm green, but I'm saying if you were to get the strap and to strap it up to your watch, right? And, you know, wear it every day and gets a little dirty, I think that actually gives it a bit more of a
sheen,
like a better look.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's like, you know, in Le Mans, the winning Le Mans car, they will showcase it and they'll never clean it up.
That's awesome. Really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, they'll never clean up the car. They will still have all the bug sprayed windshield and dirt awesome. And soil, but it's never.
Did I tell you that when I went to the New York International Auto Show, I think in 2017, in the basement they've got vintage cars. Like, they're not new issues. They're basically vintage car dealers and modifiers. They put their cars in the basement. And there was a Audi Quattro S1.
Ooh.
Okay, rally car.
Nice.
Still covered in mud.
Yep.
It was filthy.
It may have won the championship.
And is that one? I was thinking, like, what clown would bring a car to an auto show and not at least give it a car wash? Like, it looks disgusting. And now I'm like, oh, actually, maybe it might have won.
Yeah. So, like, the manufacturers won't clean up the car. They'll probably preserve the way it won the race. It's some sort of good luck thing.
That's awesome. It's kind of how you operate, you know, no showers, no cleaning. It's
same thing you do with your watches either. Crud all over the bezel. That's all right. That's good.
How dare you? How dare you? How dare you, sir? All right. Well, I think that's all we have for tonight.
Yeah. No, it's a good fight on straps. It's something different. And something we've been covering a little bit more as of late.
Yeah, and Uncle Seiko, we mentioned the Mexican hoser bracelet. He actually has a few other Speedmaster accessories coming out. He's got a, I think he's working on a flat link Speedmaster bracelet, like evocative of the vintage, like we're talking like 60s era Speedmaster bracelets, which is very attractive, which I actually like.
Is that the like the flat link?
Yeah.
The exactly. one that was in the 50th anniversary, the Buzz Aldrin watch?
It was in the Trilogy collection.
Okay.
Let me check. Let me just double check before I say anything. Yes. It's that style. I don't know if it's the same exact flat link, but it's that style of links.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, but it's more evocative of what they had for the Trilogy collection, the 1957 Speedmaster. So, which is very cool. So, yeah. And Uncle Seiko is really doing God's work here because, you know, these aftermarket bracelets are going for hundreds of dollars.
Wow.
And it's just steel. It's insane. And if you're going to get a vintage one, you need to get an adapter to get that to fit your modern Speedmaster because the lug design's a bit different. So, he is thinking of all of that and addressing all of that, and he's doing it for under $100, which I think is awesome.
That's a really good deal for a steel bracelet.
It's fantastic. So once that gets released, we will definitely cover that as soon as we hear more about it. But the Holzer bracelet is ready for sale right now. He's shipping it. So if you have a Speedy, if you got any interest in that, definitely do check that out. Check out our past episode on it. But I think that's all we had for tonight.
That is correct.
Oh. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us for another episode of the Land Jam podcast. Please like and subscribe wherever you get this podcast. Please follow us on Instagram. Please follow us on Twitter. And as always, stay safe and thank you.